Good morning.
This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, resident of the Philadelphia Bible Society, for this hour, host of The Great Message, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by Pastor Gregory Johnson and Minister Lorenzo Biggs, both of St. Matthew Greater Independent Church in West Philadelphia. These men have a special revival service forthcoming, and knowing them both and honoring them both, I thought it would be appropriate to bring them on board today and give some exposure for their special service, but just to have some excellent conversation. So, gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are entirely welcome. We thank you. Just up front, let's get a sense of St. Matthew, Greater St. Matthew Independent Church. My lovely wife and I have not only driven past it, we actually got out of the car and looked at your lovely Marian Anderson garden. Ah. We've never been inside, but then again, I know the two guys who are the primary movers and shakers. So starting with Pastor Johnson, share with us something of Greater St. Matthew Independent Church.
Well, Greater St. Matthew's Independent Church, thank you, first of all, Pastor Lacey, for allowing us to be here. We just celebrated our 76th church anniversary. It was actually a break off from St. Matthew's, which is right around the corner on Ray Street, a non-denominational church. We simply believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we just want to make a difference in the community. We have a lovely congregation, and most of the folks during that pandemic, a lot of them have stayed, and some have passed. But it's a good place to be. But we really are focused on, especially this revival, on the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its simplicity. And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this revival on June 5th.
I must tell you, you won my heart by way of your description. You spoke of your lovely fellowship. It really is a lovely fellowship. I want to speak of my church as my lovely little fellowship. Mm. It's an affectionate use of the language. I love my people. Clearly you love your congregants as well. Right. It comes through. Are you the founding pastor, sir?
No, I'm not.
No. Okay.
I'm not the founding pastor. I think I'm the third or fourth pastor.
Forgive me, my math is awry. You'd be much too young to be the founding pastor. But how long have you served in this capacity?
I'm going on my 24th year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to explore, as the broadcast unfolds, your story of faith. But again, as we unfold the broadcast, drawing upon Minister Biggs, you would be associate to Pastor Johnson. Yes. How long have you been with Greater St. Matthew?
I've been there 18 plus years.
Okay.
Time flies. Wow.
Do they still treat you like a rookie, or are you now deemed a seasoned veteran?
Oh, I'm a veteran now. I have the battle scars.
Churches, as you know, can be funny animals, to use a phrase, because some churches you could be there 40 years and you're still new.
Mm-hmm.
Other churches you're there a week and you're a seasoned vet. Mm. But I appreciate the battle scars. Yeah. I have a handful of my own as well, you know. But what's it like working together?
I'm not saying because he's here, but Reverend Biggs is the ultimate co-laborer. We have a bond together as far as the importance of the gospel, the importance of communicating the simplicity of the gospel. Pastor Biggs, Reverend Biggs, he likes to call himself Minister Biggs. I always call him the Black Billy Graham. Just has a great message as far as his communication style, his focus on Christ as the center, kind of a modern-day Paul. That's why he's the one who is communicating the gospel, ability to be the preacher for the hour at our revival on June 5th, 2025. But we work together well, and I just admire him. I'm not sure if he knows how much I do admire him, but he's a great illustration of a person who's humble, extremely gifted, just a great servant. He was the entree for me meeting you indirectly on the Daily News. He gave us the opportunity to write articles that was published, but we worked together very, very well.
Well, Pastor, I'm very pleased because there are contexts. Christians are human beings and therefore fallible, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that you honor Minister Biggs, there are situations when I come across a jealousy factor.
Right.
But the fact that you work so well together, I'm blessed right. at my end with my associate pastor and very dear friend, Pastor Dennis Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
We work like hand in glove together. We could finish one another's thoughts. And so I'm just deeply touched by how endeared you are to Minister Biggs. However, if you really want him to know what you feel towards him, I think you need to lather it up a little bit more, okay? Just joking. Minister Biggs, or my dear friend Lorenzo, briefly, yes. if I may call you Lorenzo.
That's fine.
But formerly, you're Minister Biggs. You were, for many years, the public editor of the Philadelphia Daily News.
Yes.
I remember our first moment of contact. You brought me on board. Pastor Johnson and I were in a rotation to write faith columns on mm-hmm. Saturday mornings. And what is your experience working with Pastor Johnson?
I just want to say it's an honor working with him. The thing I like about him is Christ. He preaches and teaches Christ. And that's what really not only attracted me, but even caused me to continue to stay at the church. Because recently I moved to Delaware. And there were a number of people who suspected with that move, I would, you know, just change my church attendance. But I tell you, in this day and age, it's hard to find men and women who are preaching and teaching the unadulterated word of God. And so, but I was getting that at Greater St. Matthew. So I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay. And it was because of the heart that Pastor has for the gospel. And I appreciate that. And that's what really kept me there and really helped me and my preaching and teaching. We really need to build one another up in the gospel and strengthen our faith. And that's what I get with him.
Well, again, I'm deeply touched because you're speaking on a level, you know, the seventh fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of the upside of evangelical Christianity, I'm fearful that faithfulness is not always accentuated. People move around
right.
too much. And there may be reasons to move. I'm not minimizing that.
Yeah.
But you have found a church and a senior pastor with whom you have not simply a camaraderie, which in and of itself is lovely, but you have a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And money doesn't buy that.
Nope.
And you could look for it the rest of your life elsewhere and never find it again.
Yeah.
So what the two of you share is just an impeccable alliance, if I may say. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I praise God for it. I truly do. I've been in my church now for 36 and a half years. Twice
wow.
I sought to take my leave through difficult seasons.
Wow.
Neither time did the Lord give me the green light to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that he did not, because on the other end of the trials, our church entered into a blooming, blossoming time afresh.
Wow.
Yeah.
New people came on board. Ministries were revitalized. So, you know, the grass can be greener on the other side.
Yeah.
But when you know what you have,
yeah.
And trying to find a good church,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're not out there, but
yeah,
they're hard to find.
Yeah.
And so a good church is like a good psychologist, a good radio producer, a good spouse. Mm-hmm. They're hard to find.
Yeah.
And if you have one, don't let that church go.
I like what you just said. You said the Lord did not release you.
Yeah.
And that's what mm-hmm. it's all about. Allowing God to lead us,
yes.
not man, you know, personalities or whatever, money or whatever. And so even with my move to Delaware, I felt God didn't release me from Greater St. Matthew. When God releases you, there's a peace that comes with that.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Letting you know you're making the right move. And I didn't sense that. So for me, the Lord was telling me, stay.
Minister Biggs, from the day we met, I discerned in you a true man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Johnson, from the day we met in the Home Depot in Conshohocken, just stumbled across each other,
right.
didn't know who one another were. We just started talking.
Right.
you know, but that bow tie that you were wearing that day, it caught my attention because that's your signature, isn't it? A bow tie. But when we met, I discerned a very sincere, authentic follower of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes our flesh can get the best of us. We're sincere in our follow in our convictions of Christ, but our flesh is still in the ascendancy. Right. With you men, real flesh and blood human beings, but Christ is clearly ascendant in your lives. I discerned it from day one. I discern it many years later.
One of the things that, again, going back to Mr. Biggs, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit that's given to the body of Christ. My gifts is pastoring and teaching. I love to teach. And there's an evangelist. The evangelist is the one who goes out, proclaims the gospel, the people come. But when the people come, they need to be taught.
Yes.
That's my gift. Reverend Biggs and myself, we work perfectly together. Again, that's why he's a preacher for the revival. He is a person who communicates the gospel. We pray that souls come to Christ. When those souls come to Christ, now they sit under the teaching and the systematic teaching of the scriptures on Sunday. And hopefully we can, that works out very, very well. So we have that camaraderie that I think works together.
Beautiful construct as God designed it. Praise God.
Yeah. Okay.
Brad Lacy, we return in just a moment. Thank you so much. Brad Lacy returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, joined afresh by Pastor Gregory Johnson and Minister Lorenzo Biggs, both of the St. Matthew, forgive me, Greater St. Matthew Independent Church. A little bit more probing, if I may, concerning your lovely fellowship.
Yes.
Again, I speak of my lovely little fellowship. Pastor Johnson, you spoke of your lovely fellowship. I'm witnessing a beautiful mutual deference betwixt the two of you. It's grounded in humility. It's suffused with the love of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. It has to carry over into your church. So tell us more about your church. You gave us the touch of the history, but how would you characterize or describe what's playing out now amongst your people? How is God using you?
Well, I don't want to be pretentious, but I think it's the best kept secret, especially in West Philadelphia. The gifts of the Spirit is there. We have folks who manifest the gift of exhortation. A brother by the name of Gerald Moore, who just is the epitome of encouragement, which means that wherever there's a gift, there's always those who need that gift. So there's a church that has gone through some tough times as far as deaths, the COVID situation. But there, God has placed people there with a gift to encourage. We have a great drama ministry going at one time before the pandemic will be starting up. A young woman, Beverly Abel, who has the ability to write plays, excellent presentation on plays. We have awesome teachers, and just some good folks. We have some older folks who have been around, they call them the 49ers, since the church started in 49. But it's a good church where the manifestations of the gifts are there. When you come in, I'm assured that when you leave, you will hear the gospel. You will see it modeled out, and there's a sense of family, camaraderie, a lot of love, but most of all, which spurs everything, you will see Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about when the church got together, it didn't say anything about numbers, sizes, buildings. They gave themselves to the apostle doctrine, prayer, fellowship. And that's what is there. So that's.
And Pastor Johnson is speaking of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts, to be properly applied, have to be working hand in hand, hand in glove, if you will, with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And again, you men, just being together with you, you manifest in such an exquisite way, a mutuality of expression of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, character qualities. Minister Biggs, I knew you initially as the public editor of the Philadelphia Daily News for many years.
Yes.
You were at work at large in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So with the description that Pastor Johnson has given of Greater St. Matthew Independent Church, the church must have been a consummate blessing to a committed believer who's immersed work-wise in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't always going to be an easy thing. So the church had to have been a great blessing to you. Talk about this.
Right. It has been. We're a small congregation, which I appreciate a lot. I've attended what you might call mega churches. And I can only speak for me. There wasn't a fellowship that I felt or feel at Greater St. Matthew. Because we're small, we can be more intimate. And there's a lot of love there and people who truly want to know the Lord. There's, you know, they want to know the Lord and they want to learn about the Lord. And so that stirred me on. That fired me up because that's the kind of spirit that I have. I want to know the Lord. I want to love him more.
Mm.
And so when I look out and see others with that same type of passion, that kind of fired me up to yes. be a part of it.
Your accent on the small church is significant. I pastor a very small church, my lovely little fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up and went to seminary under the shadow of the mega church, and I'm taking nothing away from
yeah,
what
nothing.
They can do by it, nor are you.
Right.
But I look, I'm never going to have a mega church. I'm not wired for that.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I used to sweetly speak of our bread and breakfast church, you know.
Right.
We had, I think, an aptitude for a smaller setting, smaller gatherings of people.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand the Bible, if I read Christ correctly, two or three is the quota, right?
Yep.
The quotient, the prerequisite mm-hmm. for his presence. And I always try to encourage my people to be mindful. When you come into this place, it's great to see one another.
Yep.
But are you aware of the fact that you are entering the presence of the Almighty?
Mm.
And I always encourage them as well that when we're entitled, I mean, we have the right to ask God for the blessings that we need. And God
yeah.
is in the business of giving blessings. He may give the blessing of discipline, let alone of
yeah.
other things.
Right.
But I always encourage my people, every time you ask for a blessing, you're entitled to. But also ask him to make you a blessing.
Right.
And I do think that small churches, the great Chuck Colson, renowned for his book Born Again. And the Prison Fellowship.
1972.
He right. talked about those lovely little, my language, but those small battalions for Christ at
yeah.
large in the world. We're small battalions.
Mm.
I don't know if a battalion or a corps is bigger or smaller, but we're as small as it gets. But God is at work amongst us and through us. Just as he's living in us, and
right.
and you guys are manifesting him through the two of you, you mm. know? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I made my peace with us being a small church decades ago. I
yeah.
now take great joy in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, truly. Pastor Johnson, do you find yourself, I'm sure you're a very collegial man, clearly. So you must have partnerships with churches around you. And how does that satisfy as well?
I'll be honest with you, there's a guy at a church, older fellow, I think he was there from the beginning of the founding of the church under Mel and Lewis, Paul Seiler. And I remember when I first started there, we had a program that mentioned something about numbers. And I forget exactly the text he used. He says, Pastor, never talked about numbers. And the reason being, it's not about numbers, it's a person. For example, I'm on this radio right now. It's just three people in here. But the numbers, the ripple effect. If I would say, I'm not sure how God's going to work out the details in heaven with rewards, but if he goes in alphabetical order and Billy Graham stands up, God says, well done, Billy, my good and faithful servant. Under your ministry, 5 million people came to Christ. Wow. Can you imagine being the person after Billy? But the person after Billy, John Jones, well done. He said, who's he? Oh, he's the guy who led Billy to Christ.
The truck driver.
So the key is, I don't like to deal with numbers. Yeah. Not knocking if I had a church of 10,000 members. But the mate, what one of our teachers coming up, God has not called us to be successful. And we talk about successful being in numbers a lot of times. God has called us to be faithful. So I just want to make sure that I'm faithful and let the numbers surprise us when we get to heaven.
I'm going to piggyback on that with a story that you men will love. On the other side of the commercial divide, of course. Brad Lacy, Pastor Johnson, Minister Biggs, we return in just a moment. Brad Lacy, returning for another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Pastor Gregory Johnson, Minister Lorenzo Biggs of the Greater St. Matthew Independent Church in West Philadelphia. Pastor Johnson, you were speaking about faithfulness as distinct from a more worldly concept of success. I knew a minister once. He was a Scotsman. I think perhaps more born and bred. Well, he might have been born over there, but he was here for most of his life. And he ministered to AIDS patients.
Wow.
He had a ministry called Harvest. Mm-hmm. And he was ministering to AIDS patients. He was a beautiful soul, very dear man, Presbyterian gentleman. And he says, you know, Brad, he says, when they talk about success in ministry, and again, this was in the under the shadow of the mega church, when they talk about success in ministry, I can't meet their dictate. Mm. All of my congregants literally die.
Right.
And so I had to determine what success in ministry meant. And he says, I came to understand that success for me was being faithful to my calling.
That's right.
And to the ones to whom who were entrusted to my care. Mm. I've actually determined, and Minister Biggs, I think this is true of you, and I'd like your feedback. I've come into the realization, 36 years now in pastoral ministry, 50 years in Christ in August of this year. And for me, the reward is not necessarily more people, although that's always lovely. Mm. My reward, I have come to experience, is the very act of service.
Good point.
To which God has called me. The service to which he's entrusted me is my reward. Doing it is my reward. And I think, Minister Biggs, I've known you for 25 years now, close to it. I think that's true of you, but I'm not meaning to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, when I, before I got saved, I had told the Lord, look, if I'm going to do this, I want to be serious. I don't want to be what I saw, you know, people saying that they were Christians and they're in and out of the church. Their lives are just the opposite of what the gospel preaches and teaches. I said, I want to be serious. Mm. And to God be the glory, that's been my desire. My goal is to be faithful to whatever the Lord had given me. When I first got saved, I had a hunger and thirst to study the Word and attend Bible study classes. My first pastor saw that, and he says, hey, I want to make you a Sunday school teacher. I'm like, wait a minute, I can't do that. I'm happy just sitting in the pews. But he saw my faithfulness. And then from there, people heard from my teaching. They said, hey, you should be preaching. I said, no. But like I've heard pastors say, your gifts will make way for you. And so as I stayed faithful, I began to see God open up different doors for me. And then when the editors wanted me to oversee the faith column, I'm like, wait a minute, you got to be kidding me. Because we're going to get calls from all type of religions and churches. But when you're faithful, God will make a way and he'll make it work.
As I recall, Pastor Johnson was a regular in that rotation.
Yes.
You had a Catholic nun as well, as I recall, who
was
very faithful. I did 5-6 a year, as I recall, for several years. That was a wonderful. Never.
Oh, that was beautiful.
In the presence of the Almighty, never say you can't do something.
Right.
I have a lady in my church, and she says, I could never do that, meaning she could never speak in front of a group of people. She's now 96 years of age. Right. She could run circles around women half her age. Wow. She looks 60 at best.
Wow.
All right? And you know what she does every week? She stands up in the Assembly of the Saints and gives glory to God with a testimony.
Mm.
But she said she could never do that.
Yeah.
She was not interested in missions. All right, guess who she marries after her first husband dies about 5 years later? A missionary at 73 years of age.
Wow.
Guess where she had never been out of the mid-Atlantic. Maybe a trip to Florida, maybe up to Cape Cod. You've been there, Minister Biggs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, but never meaningful travel. Mm-hmm. Guess where she left at 73 years of age? She moves to Africa to be a missionary. So never tell God never.
I don't know her from a can of paint, but there's one principle that... And this is the year or the time of commencement addresses, which is cool. A superstar, a famous person stands up and tells a bunch of young people, be this, do all you can, sacrifice. Basically, you can be like me, and that's cool. I always think that the ideal message would be what Paul tells us in Thessalonians. Aspire to live a quiet life, minding your own business, using your gifts that God has given you, walking in integrity amongst those outside the faith, and you will lack for nothing. When that happens, the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to Mr. Biggs,
yeah.
The nun you're talking about, yourself, myself. Just do what God says. The gifts will make way for it. The lawyer will be a lawyer. The doctor will be a doctor. But make sure that, first of all, aspire, strive, seek to live a quiet, peaceable life, mind your own business, and walking in integrity amongst those outside the faith.
You're going to love this. The wisest man I ever met. I'm speaking within the broader realm of God's common grace, because I didn't have any... reason to believe by way of the debtor before me that he was a follower of Christ.
Mm.
Probably nominally Catholic or nominally Protestant. But within the realm of common grace,
right.
The wisest man I ever met, and I loved him. Maybe not as wise as my friend and radio producer Frank, but close to that, you know. And but you know what I used to work at Logan Airport in Boston.
Wow.
And you know what he did, this guy? He cleaned toilets in Terminal C and D.
Wow.
And I would get to know him. I'd see him on his lunch break. I met him in the Faneuil Hall Marketplace once, inadvertently, in Boston along the Atlantic Ocean. He was never happier than when he would be, and I'm not advocating smoking cigarettes, but he was never happier. He'd be smoking a cigarette, drinking a cup of coffee, and reading the newspaper.
Wow.
Quiet, unassuming man.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talked with him, he had something to say.
Mm.
And I've never forgotten that man. He, if you will, he had a sense of vocation, a sense of where he belonged.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Great.
Yeah. And you can't buck against God's purpose for you.
Right.
You can't. You can try and buck against circumstance.
Right.
But God
Excellent
has
point.
A place for. I had a high school teacher, brilliant man. We all said you should be teaching history at Harvard. He says no, I can teach high school history in Everett, Massachusetts.
Right here.
I can't do eighth grade history in Danvers, Massachusetts. I don't belong at Harvard. And yet he was brilliant.
Mm.
He understood where he was making a difference.
Beautiful. Right.
You guys have the additive of knowing that you're striking a difference for matters of eternality in the lives of souls. You know, with about just a couple of minutes left before we break, Minister Biggs, your contribution to this, please, because I know... I can see by your countenance you're riding the groove and crest of this conversation. So let the audience get in on it.
Oh no, I'm just loving the conversation. I mean, it's God is good, and you know, I just thank God for the opportunity that you're giving us to just share the fact that we're going to be having this revival next Thursday, June 5th, at 7 p.m. at Greater St. Matthew Independent Church, 5544 Race Street. And we just invite, you know, I'm going to get it in now. We're going to invite everyone to come on out and be a part of this, time in the Lord. You know, even if you know the Lord for yourself, it would help to come out and support those who may be curious in what this gospel is all about. To show support to those who are on the fence. You know, in this day and age, we really need to get the gospel out. to those who don't know.
Well, and I have come under your preaching on a number of occasions. In fact, Pastor Johnson, I'm sure you recall when our church was celebrating her 150th anniversary 3 years ago, we brought Minister Biggs in to be our keynote speaker. But that was riding the crest of some sermons I had heard a number of years prior.
Right.
So you both are men of the Word of God, and the Word is central to us as believers, and everything really is spawned from that. And at this revival, and in the final section, we're going to be accentuating it further. The Word is what will be going forth.
Yes.
You know, I remember in my early days in ministry, I used to pray, Lord, from this pulpit and from this place, meaning this church, may your Word always go forth. So from the pulpit, it would go forth to our congregants.
Yes.
From the church herself, I don't say itself, I say herself. Sounds very Catholic. I love that.
That's cool.
You know, itself is we're not a neuter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The church
right.
takes the gospel and the Word forth into the world. And so at this revival, my impression is that your endeavor is to, pardon the expression, I don't even like it, kill two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. You're taking the Word to God's people, hoping to revitalize them, and so that they take the Word beyond the walls and even beyond West Philly. We're going to need to take a break, and Pastor Johnson, I know you're eager to add. We're going to give you first dibs in our final segment.
Okay.
Brad Lacey, Pastor Gregory Johnson, Minister Lorenzo Biggs, we return for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brad Lacey, returning with one final round of the great message, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Joined for one final segment by Pastor Gregory Johnson, Senior Pastor of Greater St. Matthew Independent Church in West Philly, joined as well by his Associate Pastor, Minister Lorenzo Biggs, a man who's been a very dear friend of mine for many years. Gentlemen, one final round. God bless you for sharing it. Pastor Johnson, I could tell you were itching to say something when we ran out of time. I want you to follow through, then we're going to pick up afresh on your revival forthcoming.
I just wanted to say about when you said about the bride, the churches, the bride, her. We are the churches, the bride of Christ. Ephesians makes that perfectly clear. The bride gives birth once the bride gets pregnant. The fact that Christ is in us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm-hmm. All things are passed away, but all things become new. I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. So all through the scripture, it talks about Christ being in us. He will going to work in us. We'll continue that until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ is in the bride now gives birth to the children. And so I guess that's why I kind of don't get hung up on so much the numbers. But we are here as the church, our particular church, and probably all the churches, but we in particular for this revival, to hopefully give birth to the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that folks will come into saving knowledge of Christ or be built up in Christ. Let me just finish this now. Let Mr. Biggs end up. Rhetorical. If we had 100 babies that were born perfectly formed, the only thing they were missing was eyesight. They were all blind. And someone asked the parents, what would you want? Just whatever you want, we'll give that baby, those babies. The obvious answer is give them sight. That's exactly what Jesus says in John chapter 3. We're born into this world, created in the image and likeness of God. But because of the fact that we're born in this state of sin, we are blind to righteousness. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, Nick, what you need is to see. And once you see, as C.S. Lewis says, people say, well, how can you believe in this person you can't see? He says, no, but when I trust him, I see everything else so clear.
You see it through him.
Do him.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. You know, a friend of mine, he's a retired Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, 82nd Airborne. He did multiple tours of duty. I sweetly refer to him as Dom Clemente, defender of Western civilization. This guy was everywhere. He has a daughter who, she's now probably in her 40s, by the standards of the world, severely retarded. Mm-hmm. And he said to me once, you know, everybody tells me my daughter is retarded. To me, she's an angel. He loved her that much. No matter how tarnished we are with our flesh, Christ still loves us to death, literally to death.
Wow.
And he wants to bring us to full-term health and restoration. It may take a lifetime, but he wants to. And I know that's what's behind this revival. How I wish my lovely wife were still alive, because my wife, my bride, was instrumental in bringing many people into a more meaningful encounter with Jesus Christ. So she assisted multiple brides, if you will. But you are now, as the bride of Christ, real men that you are, as the bride of Christ, you're endeavoring to bring to others' attention just how meaningful is this gospel and just how beautiful is this Jesus. So tell me more, Minister Biggs, given that you're the preacher of the hour, tell me more what's going through your heart and mind.
Well, what's going through my heart and mind right now is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, he wrote these words. He says, For I decide to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the message that the world needs today. They need to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not about politics, not about fashion, not about the latest trend or whatever. You can get that anywhere or any place. What we're hearing less of today is the gospel. The gospel. That's what people need today. And someone might wonder, well, what is the gospel? What is this you're talking about? Well, the gospel is, translated, technically means good news. It means good news. And what does that mean? Well, the gospel is the message that God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ, offering forgiveness of sin and eternal life to all who believes in him. What the world has to understand is there is a life after this one. I always like to share this whenever I do a homegoing service. There's a lot of things that we don't see in the natural, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. Case in point, man has learned how to manipulate radio waves to send sound and pictures and that type of thing. We can't see it with our eyes, but man has learned how to manipulate the airwaves to do that. Microscopic organisms, you can't see them with the naked eye, but if you have the help of a microscope, you can see it. These things you can't see, but yet they exist. The church's job is to address the spiritual. And you can't see the spirit with naked eye. But Christ is the one that has stepped out of the spiritual realm to come to this world and to tell us there's a life after this. God loves you. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, what is that about? Because there is a life after this, and God loves us so much, he wants to spare us from the penalty of sin, which is death, and which is eternal separation from God. He doesn't want that to happen. That's why Christ came, to pay the penalty first, to pay the penalty for our sin and appoint us back to God. The world needs to know this because there's a life after this. He created us in his likeness, in his image, to live forever. And it's that piece of us that is going to live forever that God wants with him for all eternity. So the world needs to know this. A loving God has sent a way for us, and they need to know that.
So I surmise that this is both a prelude, a smidgen, and ultimately the substance of a more revved up Minister Biggs.
Yes.
This is Thursday, June 5, at what time?
7 o'clock.
Location again?
5544 Race, 5544 Race Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. Greater St. Matthew's Independent Church.
Well, I can tell you, gentlemen, I'm in, and if anybody wants to join me, they'll be in as well.
We welcome all, as we said. Those who know Christ, come out and support those who are on the fence, and we're just trusting that God will move.
And without in any way wishing to minimize the sovereignty and dignity of Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior and Lord, if you haven't heard a Lorenzo Biggs sermon, you need to now.
Amen.
I mean that. And Minister Johnson or Pastor Johnson, you address Lorenzo or refer to him as a black Billy Graham. I worked with the Billy Graham Crusade very closely back in 92. And let me tell you something. I could easily say that Billy Graham is the black or the white Lorenzo Biggs. Okay? Pastor Gregory Johnson, Minister Lorenzo Biggs, honored and delighted to have you both. We'll bring you back Brad Lacey with the great message.
Thank you.
God bless you all.
Thank you.